Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I don't know, man. Well, let's go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Got bigger fish to fry right now. Miami and FIU this Saturday, 3:30 p.m. at Hard Rock Stadium. Andrew Ivins from Inside the U joins us. Andrew, who should I root against harder tonight, the Browns or the Jets?
Dude, I've been trying to figure out which side to lean from a betting standpoint here. I mean, I'm kind of split. I think it's a trap game.
Yeah, but, really.
I mean, I think it's like 3.5 was the is what the Jets are getting. I'm interested to see all the former Miami, you know, Canes out there. You got Chris Herndon on the Jets, so tight end youth is going to be in the spotlight tonight with David Njoku there, obviously on the Browns. So I think that's a little interesting storyline. I think it could keep a lot of people watching the game.
You know, Andrew, as we get set for Miami FIU, I almost said FSU, that's in a couple weeks, Miami FIU this weekend, something it's impossible to notice lately about Malik Rozier is that he seems to have no problem challenging the fan base a little bit. He's responded to some tweets, and he did the shushing gesture at Toledo this past weekend and said that wasn't just for Toledo's fans. Obviously, this is something he's clearly doing to motivate himself. That's my assessment. But might he be putting a little bit too much pressure on himself, Andrew? Because, yeah, obviously he wants to show the fans, I'm better than you give me credit for. But when he challenges the fan base like this, the next time he struggles at home, isn't he almost challenging the fan base to boo him even a little bit louder than they did a couple of weeks ago?
I think he is setting himself up for that. But just as an outside observer, I kind of like it. I mean, I think what he did against Toledo, I wouldn't want that in my starting quarterback. I mean, him chirping away, I mean, he knows that he struggled with those accuracy issues. And for him to go out there and account for 5 touchdowns, I mean, I think he shut a lot of people up. I know people are still going to call for Perry as soon as he misses on that first pass, but I don't know. I was real impressed by him doing that. I think his ability to run the ball, I still think people don't talk about that enough. I mean, he's a big guy. I mean, it's not like, you know, some skinny quarterback getting outside the tackle. So I think them being able to add that element to the offense against Toledo, I think we're going to see that more and more here in the coming weeks. But I'm interested to see what he does against FIU because, like you said, I think if we see an early interception or whatnot, we're going to hear from the fans.
Yeah, and I agree that was a great performance he had against Toledo. No question about it. That's easily the best he's played since November, probably since the Notre Dame game. Should the hope be, or should the expectation be, that what he did this past Saturday is sustainable moving forward?
I think that should be the expectation. I think he said it himself as well. I mean, this is an offense that should be scoring 40 points a game. So, all right, you said that. You did it against Toledo. Let's see you. I mean, maybe not against FIU or North Carolina or even Florida State. He's got to show up in the bigger games. So let's see if he can keep that going. I'm starting this week, and then eventually we get into more of that ACC play.
How worried should I be about the tight end position? Another season-ending injury, this time for Pelendi. So, yeah, we all love Brevin Jordan and Will Mallory, but now those, Andrew, are the only two scholarship tight ends on the roster.
I think, you know, it doesn't change much with the passing game. You know, Brian had, well, I think, one catch for 14 yards on the season. And he was never really brought in as a guy to stretch the field and be a Chris Herndon, David Njoku type. That's the Will Mallorys and the Brevin Jordans. He was more of an inline blocker, so I think that's where it's going to hurt. I have a hunch or that we might see maybe a sixth offensive lineman out there on the field when they go in that red zone package. I think DJ Scape, he'd be the perfect guy to do it. You know, he's the freshman out of Miami Southridge. They keep talking him up as the backup right and left tackle he got in the game against Toledo. So I think from a blocking standpoint, I think it's going to hurt. On the flip side, you know, Mark Richt talked about it earlier this week. They feel like they're way more better at converting third downs because they actually have a fullback for the first time in a while in Trayvon Gray. So I think if they didn't have the fullback, I think it'd be time to definitely panic. But I think there's some band-aids they can put in there and help these guys block, because, I mean, a couple of weeks ago, the major concern was with Brevin and Will as well. They can't really block against college guys. Well, now they got to do all the blocking, because that was really Brian's specialty. So I don't think it's time to panic yet, like I said, but something to monitor moving forward.
You know, Amon Richards, again, will not play this week. And, I mean, thank goodness Jeff Thomas has stepped up and is playing at such a high level. But, I mean, do you see Amon being able to come back in time for ACC play? Is he day-to-day? How concerned should I be there?
I think this is just going to drag on throughout the season, to be honest. I mean, we make a big deal if he's going to play every week and not. And, I mean, just look at what else the other receivers are doing. I mean, let's take a step back here. I mean, was Amon ever really doing what Jeff Thomas is doing now? I mean, yeah, from a numbers standpoint, but Jeff is playing at a different level right now, and the coaches say he's practicing at a different level. I mean, why is everyone so concerned about Amon when what we've seen out of Jeff Thomas the past couple of games, even dating back to last season? So I don't expect him to come back. You know, I think he eventually will come back. To me, it's just whatever. I mean, I look at that receivers group, and I'm like, oh, well, where does Amon kind of stack in this right now? And
right.
I'd put Jeff Thomas in front of him. I probably would have even put Lawrence Cager in front of him. It's like, all right, is he going to be there or he's not? I mean, they got dudes, so I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Do you agree with me that it seems like, and you know, I hate to say this because it really sounds like I'm ripping Amon. I'm not really intending to do that, but doesn't Amon Richards kind of feel like Devontae Parker, just situation right now with the injury bug and the fact that he's not as needed as you thought he would be at this moment?
For sure. I think so, right? I mean, it's kind of the same thing there. It seems like, I know with the NFL players, they talk more to the media and stuff like that. I think I heard Omar Kelly talking earlier today, or maybe he wrote that, you know, Devontae's over it, he's fighting to come back. So I think what hurts Amon maybe is he doesn't have that voice where he's out telling the media that he's really working to come back. So who knows? I mean, but I think the two are so similar. It's in the same way. Like you said, I mean, are the teams really missing him that bad right now?
You know, over to the defense, Jaquan Johnson not going to play this week. My hunch is that if this were an ACC game, he would probably play. Do you think I'm correct, or should I be a little bit more concerned?
I would agree with you. I think with those hamstrings, especially against FIU. Don't get me wrong. I think FIU is a very talented team. I'd argue that, you know, this Saturday might be a little bit more difficult than next Thursday. Mm. But I'm not high on North Carolina at all. I think FIU, I mean, backyard brawl, it's going to be a lot, you know, more on the line as opposed to a UNC team that's kind of living in here with suspensions and injuries. And I think they're a mess. But, yes, I think it's Jaquan, I think he'd be able to go, and I think maybe Miami also wants to get some reps in there with Amari Carter, the sophomore who's made a huge name for himself on special teams. I think they want to give him some run, so I would agree with that assessment.
We're talking with Andrew Ivins from InsideTheU.com. Does great work. Follow him on Twitter at Andrew_Ivins. And you know, give me, Andrew, your take on the FIU game this Saturday. You mentioned it may be a little bit more difficult than some folks think. Do you think that I've seen it at one point, like 28 points, I think 26.5 points I saw it at today. Do you think that line might be a little bit too ambitious?
I think it's going to be difficult for Miami to cover. I think, you know, FIU is a talented team. I think they're still in a little bit of a transition phase, but they got some talent. I think DJ Wharton is a good wide receiver. I know they got some junior college transfers in there, defensive tackle guys like Kalen Humphrey, or I think I'm saying his name right. I mean, that's a guy who I think a lot of big-time schools would have taken as a mid-year transfer at that defensive tackle position. And then they got a good offensive line, so I expect Miami to win. I'm not saying they're going to win, but to cover by 4 touchdowns, I just think it's going to be a close game. Maybe kind of like the Toledo game last year at home, or as close as it happened, and then Miami kind of uses depth to pull away. So.
Now, Andrew, you might have seen some of the social media pleas and even some of the public shaming. I think a situation that a lot of South Florida football fans are in is that there are folks out there that have rooted for Miami Hurricanes football for decades, but They did go 4 years to FIU. They have that FIU diploma, yet they've been Hurricane football fans their entire lives. There's a huge social media push by certain FIU alums who are pleading with other FIU alums, like, please, you have to root for FIU this week. You have to cast your Miami allegiance aside and root for your school. I mean, to me, Andrew, I think that if you spent your entire life rooting for that Hurricanes program, I think for some people that may be more significant than where you go to school or where your diploma is from. Do you feel like these people should not be publicly shamed into rooting for FIU this week?
Well, you know, I've gone back and forth on this. You know, I actually went to the Florida Atlantic, and I was actually having a conversation with Larry Bluestein a couple of weeks ago. So Blue went to UNLV, right?
Yeah.
He went to UNLV, but he's a huge USC fan. And UNLV, I think it was week one, you know, was giving USC a run for its money. I'm like, I asked him, like, well, who'd you want to win? He's like, well, you got to take, you know, UNLV. That would have been a once-in-a-lifetime game. I mean, sure. It would have been an upset against a blue blood. So I kind of look at it like that. I mean, I think deep down, if it's your alma mater, I think you still kind of have to have that there for him. But do I think people should publicly shame them and all that? I don't know. I don't get caught up in that. I get it from both sides. I guess I don't really have a take on it. I don't know.
Well, it is a confusing issue. I think you may have actually, I think what you just said there might have captured that entire debate in a nutshell, because it is kind of people going back and forth on Twitter on an echo chamber. So great stuff here from Andrew Ivins, Andrew_Ivins on Twitter. Thank you so much, man, and enjoy the game this weekend.
I appreciate it. Thank you, man.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.